Alonzo. It's a type of...
It's a genre.
No, not really. It's not a genre
TTV
at all.
TTV is a... The anime is not a genre.
No. There's comedies and dramas and mysteries and suspense. There's, like...
Oh, it's a art style.
It's a style, yeah. It has nothing to do with genre. That's why saying I don't like anime is like you just don't like it. It's like...
Oh, well, I can say that. I don't like style.
You don't like the... Yeah, you don't like the visual style.
Wait. What is Cowboy Bebop?
Anime?
Fuck.
It's real. That's what I'm saying! You can't just say, I don't like anime. No, you don't like shitty anime. And I agree, I fucking hate shitty anime. There's a lot of shitty anime, just like there's a lot of shitty television shows.
This
okay.
Is true.
But on the whole, I don't like the anyway. Welcome back to Tango TV's Premier Talkback Program B, episode 13, I believe it is, where today we are going insane. But before that, we have a certain topic of discussion to take place, which is today about Story in Doom. And just quietly while I'm here, we have had a letter sent in by an anonymous individual who says that we need to sound more official on the program. So I have specifically got out my notepad here, and I'll be turning the pages occasionally like so, just to sound like I'm doing something, even though the pages are blank. Today on the program, in addition to Kairos Tansman, we have Zazer. Hello.
Hi, I'm a Zazer person.
And we are going to be talking about Story in Doom, as I said. So, where to begin? Well, for a starter, I guess it's worth mentioning that, although nobody actually said this on the forums, it did occur to me that some people might think that, you know, is there really much room for discussion or something like that? Well, when you consider, I think, just the amount of material that's come out in recent years and years gone by, Z-Doom, different formats, different ways in which narrative can be said, and, you know, we're looking beyond, I guess, just Doom's storyline, which we all know and regard as throwaway material.
My stance is that when people think Story in Doom, they think more traditional storytelling and actually telling a narrative that has, you know, specific events and actions in it more so than like an overarching, like, you start here and end here, and that's the story, and the journey along the way is the levels that you play. I think the best example of what I'm trying to say would be, like, I don't think that something like Adaphobia, where each level is based on story, is, like, that doesn't work at all in Doom for me. Whereas something like Back to Saturn X, where you start, and, you know, there's events happening, and you can clearly see, you know, you're progressing through the base, it's slowly getting darker, it ends with you getting on a ship and it's sinking. All of this story is told without a single line of text.
Yes, that's like gameplay-based narrative.
Yes, that narrative is perfectly fine in Doom, and I would say adds to the experience greatly. In fact, I would encourage it. There's a lot of heavily atmospheric map sets that tell a story without ever saying a single line of exposition or anything like that. It's just the atmosphere of the level, the design, the architecture, all of that tells a quote-unquote story, even though it's not traditional like how you would expect it to be told.
Incidentally, Hatophobia did do that, but it just relied more heavily on the text element, I think.
Yes.
There were some maps in there in which, you know, you could feel the progression. In fact, most of the time, you could feel the progression happening. But you weren't really interested in looking at the text, because how good can the story really be? And when you look at it, it is just all descriptive sort of things that, you know, you can get when playing the map anyway. So why am I really reading that? So yeah, I would definitely agree that detracting from the text stuff. And that's why Doom's stock text works so well, because it's silly. It's told in a comical manner. It's ridiculous, because it's intended to be throwaway and serviceable. And the story actually takes place in, you know, in progressing through the episode and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. Zazer.
Hi. First random note, because I feel like pointing this out. So everybody knows Start to Crate. I kind of wonder if we should introduce a new metric for Tango TV that starts Back to Saturn X.
Yes.
Because I did realize, hold on a second, this just got mentioned. First thing. Oh my gosh. But,
yes.
No,
it's not the first time. It's probably the last. In fact, that's happened every single episode.
Every single one, so. The point is not to judge when it's bad, but when to judge when it inevitably happens.
Mm-hmm.
Plus metrics are fun. I do have a story point to make, though, if you want to get on topic. I just wanted to go that route.
Absolutely.
Because
it's a perfectly cromulent tangent.
You see, this is your fears about not having a long enough episode. No worries, because you have me in here, so inevitably the discussion will devolve into something random.
We've long since given up on having like a specific time to fill. I think it was originally a set of 1 hour 40 minutes, but that was never going to happen.
I think it works having today, three form times. Yeah, but. So, yeah, back to Tarnsman's idea. I think hatophobia is an interesting example because it actually attacks the idea of story on two fronts. I guess just to kind of explain my own terms here, there's several different portions to, I guess, what we consider story as a whole. There's the, in my mind, there's a distinction between the narrative and the progression. The progression is kind of the A to B, where you're at, the changes in setting, so to speak, whereas the narrative would be more of the here's why you're doing it, here's the tech screens, oh yeah, you're going in your face, like the more traditional here's the stuff you'd put in a plot summary kind of stuff. I guess just in my head, why do I make this distinction? Because I like assigning terms to things, because I pretend I know what I'm talking about when I say, oh, the narrative. But it's interesting because hatophobia introduces both narrative and progression as forms of storytelling. But the nice part about it is the way it does it, since if you decide to go the route and ignore the tech screens completely, you still have the seamlessness nature of the maps that allows you to experience kind of a similar thing to what Back to Saturn X does, thematic consistency, going forward from A to B and C. And I thought that was an interesting route to take because I'm sort of almost tooting my own horn here, but you talk from experience, that's what we do. In Hacks, that's one of the things I'm trying to do for 2.0, is there is a actual story / plot line for the game now, and it's told in text screens with images this time, between the levels. The idea is that terms of progression, you have different distinct settings, you go from A to B to C, logically speaking. So you have that progression aspect, but at the same time, if you choose to, there's little text screens that explain the narrative portions, the story, why are you doing this, why are you assaulting this crazy guy's mansion in China, stuff like that. Because a lot of folks won't really care about that. They just want to be in the levels, they want to soak that in and experience it, whereas other people may get a little bit more out of the smaller narrative aspect. So in my head, that actually works pretty well to have a to use both, because in my there's really good progression in a level set, whether that's in terms of gameplay or difficulty or thematicness, always adds to it, I think. Narrative is icing in a game like Doom, but it's one of those, if you can make it, then why not, sorts of things. So that's a cool thing, I think, that Hatophobia did.
One advantage, I think, to having, as you call it, sort of the progression, the narrative taking place actually in the game itself and not in text form, a level of distinction that Tarzan made, is that you don't have to rely on the players. It's going out of his way to actually read the text. I mean, typically, most people I know, especially Tarnsman, once they get... Actually, no, Tarnsman doesn't do that. When you get to the story text, you do read it in a jerky voice, but probably don't really think about the sort of words that are going on or actually wondering what the story is about.
Absolutely not.
I typically read it in my Garth Marenghi voice, then move on. But, it can work itself into the subconscious of the player if it's sort of in the gameplay. Again, with Back to Center sort of thing. And so you begin to appreciate it without really thinking about it much. And then only when you get to the end of it, you go, oh, that actually felt like a journey, progression. I felt like I moved from A to B. And perhaps that might even mean that you might want to go back then and really find out what it's about, but that's not really important. The point there is that you can work it into the mind of the player and get them to appreciate some sort of story in some form without having to have him rely on sort of just looking up the text or whatever.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work in Doom.
I think that if you're going to tell, like, an actual narrative, you need to do more like what Action Doom 2 did, to where you kind of, like, stylize how you're telling it and integrate it into the feel of the whole map set. Like, I really like Winter's Fury, and it tells a story, but I think it does it very poorly. I think Winter's Fury tells a story a lot better with its level design and its atmosphere and all that, and the story just kind of feels like, okay, this is why you're doing A, B, C, and D, but it's not, like, it doesn't tie into the style as well as, like, say, Action Doom 2.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense?
Sure. But do you think, then, therefore, the sort of, if there is text, it should be catered specifically towards sort of advancing that sense of gameplay narrative progression, rather than just being an interesting plot story in its own right?
I think that there is text, that there shouldn't be effects.
It just didn't exist. Or it should just be comical like Dooms. Sort of set up.
It should just be comical like Dooms. I mean, again, there's
only...
Stinks like rotten meat. Yeah, there's only so much you can do with Doom's default storytelling. And really, Doom's default gameplay, when you think about it, the story, like, what story are you going to tell that's really going to make Doom's default gameplay a compelling narrative? You go to place X, you kill demons, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could put a compelling novel in there, but I mean, really, would you be following that when you actually get down to brass tacks and shooting demons?
No.
And just go out the window?
Okay,
I
want to
answer Tarnsmith's question, actually. Because even though it's... You finish, and then I'll...
Well, I was going to say, here's the main thing, is that, okay, I'm going to be the elitist dick and just say it, that most of the stories, in fact, pretty much every single one I've seen written for Doom are not that good. The people writing them are not professional writers, they're not very good at writing, and so it's generic, go to the base, oh no, this person is evil, we have to stop them. Oh no, Diablo is breaking into the world. Oh no. Like, even the map sets that are really story-driven that I think do it well, like, what you call it, Winter's Fury. Like, Winter's Fury's story is, you're the last Marine. Stop Diablo and his three brothers or some shit like that. It's like, oh man, here's the zenith of inventive and intriguing storytelling. That kind of shit to where I would say that, no, story in Doom probably could be done well. It's just the people writing the stories don't write good stories.
Well, yeah, you could do a good story, but again, it's what I said just previously, is that it goes out the window once, because you're not always focusing on the story. You're only focusing on the story if it's in text form, and if it's in a vanilla or boom compatible or whatever set. Like once every 12 maps, whatever. Once it just crops up there. So, I mean, it's just, for a vanilla thing, you're going to be shooting most of the time and there won't be any story. And you're like, oh, there's a story to this once you get to map 12. And you lost for the text at map 7 or whatever.
No, because Perdition's Gate tried to do, like, I think the Perdition's
oh,
Gate
that's right,
way
yeah.
turning the exit screen into the story can work.
Yeah, I did forget about that. Yeah. But again, that's all setting thing, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah,
now you're moving from the sewers to the...
It's all setting thing. Again, it's... Mostly that with Doom, the simplicity of the game, like, when I think of modern story-based games, like, games where the story has a significant impact on the campaign, they're generally games catered around that. Like, RPGs where you spend a lot of time developing your character and making them feel like your person, to where you have time to get attached to the characters in the narrative. Stuff like that, or modern first-person shooters where the story is essentially just a big action blockbuster and exists solely to, you know, advance the plot from one thing exploding to the next. Is kind of like the modern version of Doom, but Doom doesn't have, like, the advantage of beautiful scripted cutscenes. Like, Z-Doom cutscenes are a joke. So, you're really left with having to rely on your skill as a level designer and your use of textures and lighting and all that to create interesting environments that reflect on the story, which point basically makes, like, the narrative of the story kind of... not really interesting, because you're like, oh, cool, this level's really awesome. All right, Colonel Zune of the Xingdai terrorist group is blowing up people and whatever. I just want to go to this cool Chinese palace made by Zazer and explore it.
You should
I think
do that,
that
Zazer,
uh,
now that he suggested oh, yes. Chinese palace.
That's almost the guy's name. It has an X in it. It starts with an X. Yeah, great. Here he is spoiling the whole plot of Hacks. Yeah, he's a bad guy, and you have to go kill him. damn you to hell. All right, so now that we've gone and spoiled my entire life's work, I'm gonna go. Sorry, I'm stuttering here. I don't even know what to say.
Cheese. Say cheese.
Okay. Cheese. I'm cheese.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to normalcy, if there is such a thing. I think storytelling really does need to fit the medium. Well, that's a very generic statement. What I mean by that is, you're right that Doom cannot pull off cutscenes that well, at least not in the traditional FPS blockbuster sense. So you're never going to get the feel that you're in a movie or taking part in this realistically, which is a lot of things a lot of games do. Like, I don't know, one of the big story-ish moments that sticks out of my mind is the nuke from the first Modern Warfare. It was actually a really freaking awesome moment. Like, holy shit. You can never pull that off in Doom, because you're never going to get that sense of, oh, I'm there. But you can still pull off the idea, so long as you style it properly. So what I mean by that is, art-wise, you're not going to feel like you're in the game. But that's not to say that you can't still feel emotionally attached to the characters or generate cool characters that exist, because even though the medium is a bit different, you're just going to kind of tailor yourselves to that. So, yes, it's probably not going to work if you try and, you know, do crazy professional voice acting and all that, but you get some good writing skill in there, and you could make some pretty memorable characters, I might wager. Action Doom 2 is an interesting example because it, of course, is very heavily stylized, did a pretty darn good job of creating a story, and even in the first Action Doom, it wasn't narrative-driven, I would say. It's more of a progression sort of thing. You get a sense of what you're doing because the level design and the general thematic progression matches that. You're obviously, you know, doing the whole Contra-ish, hey, you got to take down some things. And I do like how the game only had, like, basically one quote-unquote cutscene, which had a little bit of text. It was a nice little arcadey throwback. But what made that work was less the content of the story and more of how it was presented. And I still think it's possible in Doom. It's more of a matter of not too many folks have done it. So to throw out one more example, since it's inevitably going to come up, and I think this is partially an answer to Tarnsman's question of how could you make work, or how can you make story work in a game with gameplay like Doom's, and my response to that would be Strife. Because Strife, in my head, while it may not be the most narrative-driven of tales, did a really, really good job of creating an awesome setting with its story, and then providing a good environment to explain why you're running around shooting all these crazy acolytes. And it works. You get a feeling that you're in Strife's world. And while, yes, the storyline, narrative-wise, is just you got to go from A to B to C, and oh, now there's the entity, kill it, not very complex, you get a feel for the world. And I feel like in games, at least in video games, or first-person shooters, if nothing else, that actually comes first and foremost in my head, is if you can make the player feel like they're within a world that is living and breathing, that tops whatever thematic narrative sort of stuff you could add on top of that. That's sugar. Like, okay, the story was cool on top of it, but if you actually feel like you're in a fun, awesome world that you're running shooting in, that's just going to enhance your experience across the board.
I actually like the idea of, if you want to tell a story well, you don't hire professional writers for Doom, you hire just professional level designers. Like, the story is super basic in its place, but that's all you need, because once you start creating decent levels that show off the right atmosphere and give that right sense of gameplay, narrative, and progression, that tells the story way better than any text ever would, or any involving story that on its, by itself will be worth reading.
Like, okay. So, like, alright, here's, you start off in like a very fleshy, hellish cavern, and you work your way into a military base, and alright, there's the first part of our narrative, told just with level design. Boom, you've arrived from hell, and you're on Earth, and then you do some other stuff, and let's say a level ends, and you start the next level, and boom, there's a cyber demon right behind you, and you have nothing to fight it, and you've gotta run away from it. There's a chase scene. You've just made a chase scene in Doom without saying a single word, without doing anything, just by placing one monster and the player start. That's you're true. Telling a story.
I guess you could enrich it, though, if you just put a little, before you even start playing the game, just a little very simple story that gives context to it. And then you don't have to retell it halfway through the game or whatever, just you let the level do the rest. Actually, this reminds me of Icarus, and a few other older Mega Wads that do this as well. They put in quite a lot of story text before, like in a text file or something. You can read, like, this Icarus' story takes like 5 minutes, 7 minutes to read or whatever. And then you play the game and it gives context for everything that's going on. It makes sense of the sort of jumping from planets to simulators to back to the ship again and that sort of thing. And I think that's a pretty good approach for Vanilla, honestly, if you look at something outside of like Perdition's Gate, where you actually do tell it every map, thanks to the intermission pictures. Because it just provides the setting, and then you don't need to concentrate on that anymore. It's just purely there to allow the level design to do the rest. And then, I guess, you could bookend it. So once you get to the end, there might be another piece of narrative that you can read. Sort of ties everything together. But once you're actually in the game, you can forget about the narrative, or it's only very slight at the back of your mind that complements the level design.
I actually kind of like the idea of not having any story text. Like, Tarns was kind of hinting towards that idea with his level set. I think it would be kind of cool to see someone pull off something where you could legitimately write a story based on the contents, but never speak a word. I mean, yeah, there's the games that do that, but I don't know if I've seen something really like that in Doom. But you're talking about, like, what you've done there with your progression is you're basically immersing the player in a world. Like, oh, this is hell, and oh, there's a cyber demon chasing, that sort of stuff. That goes towards you're making pretty darn cool experience without ever using any talkiness.
What's that game that Braid? Like, Braid tells a story. Like, Braid has story text, and I totally ignored them, but I still got the gist of the entire story just by watching what was happening in the game, and the, like, ending where you're actually the bad guy. Like, all that, like, that entire plot twist was done just by playing the game. And I mean, I think Braid's super pretentious and its creator's head is up his own ass, but that's not here nor there. But I think that's a great example of not using text. I also want to clarify and make sure Zazer was talking about my fictitious example level set and not my actual level set, because that story involves Liam Neeson as a dust priest.
No. You must. At this precise moment, please, if you will.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that'll be... let's talk about Lunatic first. Doom's story, being retarded, I think, actually has a plus.
Oh, yes.
I think there's definitely having a comedy story. I mean, I think Lunatic would lose some value if it wasn't about you trying to escape the moon because a giant ball of demons ran into it.
Isn't the giant ball of demons having like a creating gravity that sort of altered the course of the moon? It was going to crash it into the earth, or was it actually just going to crash into the?
No. A giant ball of demons hit the moon, and so the moon's now going to crash into the earth.
That's beautiful.
That is all the plot needs to be, and that's excellent. And so there definitely is. Some advantage to Doom having a campy and a cheesy plot that lets it more or less reflect the style of gameplay that it is. I think that if you're going to have a very Doomy, arcadey like style map set that's just pure Doom arcadism, it needs to have a cheesy, campy, fun story. Okay. Like, that's just my personal opinion. Yeah. Action Doom 2 had, I think I saw people praising Action Doom 2 as having a good story. I would say it doesn't have a good story, but it has a fitting story, okay? Like, Action Doom 2 needed to have a Max Payne 2 ripoff story. Otherwise...
yes.
But so I'm just going to repeat your question, Talisman. You were asking about how you can involve the player in sort of in a vanilla setting. Going on to source boards and the like, you could do the same for Zedum. You could ask the same question for that. I mean, what are the different ways in which you could involve a player in the story if you wanted to? If you had a more complicated story that you wanted them to pay attention to, and that was actually the centerpiece of the whole thing, alongside the gameplay, what sort of different ways in source boards, and what examples can you think of that would allow either the player to pay more attention to it or to make the narrative a lot better? I'm thinking, I guess, of things like PDAs, for example. Because Doom 3's pace is slow enough, and there isn't so much of a focus on the fast-paced action gameplay because it isn't really there, that I'm moving slow enough that I'm quite happy to just take my time and read everything. I mean, I guess
honestly,
some people don't.
Like, no, I actually really enjoyed that about Doom 3 and the PDAs, even though Doom 3 was basically just like, you know, System Shock. But anyways, I do think that the PDA system can work, especially in, again, it's slow atmospheric design. That's all about the narrative fitting the design.
The further you move away from Doom's.
Yeah, the further you move away from Doom's fast-paced gameplay, and the more into, like, what the heck is the name of that thing that never got any additional episodes? It's like RTC...
RTC 357. Haha.
RTC 357.
I need the first three characters, but I never got the numbers right.
No, I can't.
I don't know how I got the numbers right.
If I remember correctly, had a bunch of PDAs, and I thought that worked well in that map set, because it's slow, it's atmospheric. You still have traditional Doom gameplay, but a lot of the map set is based around just wandering around the ship and, like, having, like, the logs of dead crewmen really helps add to that atmosphere, and that's where the narrative and the, you know, gameplay work in tandem. And I think when the narrative and the gameplay work in tandem, that's when, you know... So, like, on Lunatic's example, if you're blasting demons on the moon set to the final countdown, the cheesy story works with the gameplay. Whereas if you're wandering around an atmospheric abandoned ship, the text logs works with the gameplay.
Actually, Tonsil, can I just stop you there, and can I have complete silence, please, because I need to turn some pages. That's fine. Continue.
You sound so official. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, thank you. That's definitely the tone we've been going through.
Now, on the next topic, we're going to talk about the same thing. I do have... Oh.
I have nothing to add. I really was just stopping you from that. I wasn't planning on segueing or anything, so you better come up with something.
Oh, okay. Oh, dear. Oh, gosh.
Well, it's kind of like what your objective is ends up being what the story is, and there's a lot of things like that. I'm trying to think of, like, Temple of the Lizardmen. I'm thinking ones that just recently came out where there is a story, and the story is basically just, this is your objective. And, like, I wouldn't say that's bad. Really good map sets have done that before.
No, it's like I said before. If it provides you with the objective, it's sort of like, I provided the Icarus example because it's, I'm not sure there's an end text to it. I mean, there might be in game, but I'm not sure there's one, like, in the text file. I know there's a beginning one, but once that's been provided to me, then I can, that's at the very back of my mind, and it just provides context to the setting and whatever, and then I can enjoy the gameplay narrative a lot more of moving between the levels. Simulated thing, yeah. Like that. So, I mean, if that's not the case with something like Lizardmen, where you are provided with the logs, but the problem there is that there's so much focus on action that I'm just focused on that and I don't care about the narrative. I'm not going to stop and read it or what have you, because I'm busy shooting monsters and going through a linear path. And there's no strife element of, I think you do actually talk to people, but you don't double back onto hubs as far as I can remember or anything like that. So,
No, you don't. You talk to, like, a couple dying people and...
Are they always dying?
Yeah, they're always dying. Like, every single person you talk to in the narrative is dying. and see, here's the problem with that narrative, is that this level design doesn't tell the same story as the narrative. Like, when Pavera and I played it,
right.
At one point we thought we were on the sun because of the level design.
What? Huh?
How would it...
And this was not the case. And that's kind of what I mean by the narrative has to really reflect what the gameplay does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please, for the love of God, somebody for the next major community megawatt, make a level that takes place on the sun. You will be my hero forever.
Please, yes, the sun. Dude, fuck a level. Make an entire episode on the sun.
Okay. Oh, gosh. As a kid, actually, as a kid, I remember playing Descent, and, you know, it takes place in the solar system. You have a planet.
Oh yeah, I was upset that you don't get to go to the sun. You get to the sun.
That's what happened. Is I was sitting there as a kid, and I only played the shareware that was up to level 7, the demo thing, and then as a kid I was like, I've got to plan out all the next few levels because I can do that. And the next level set before Mars was the sun, and I had level set on the sun.
Well, that, dude, no, I thought after Pluto you were gonna go to the sun, and that's what's gonna be the final boss, the sun.
Actually, the no, sun I'm, would be- I'm gonna have to edit out all this because I want to steal that idea, and I don't want the public to know about it.
You've asked. But, like, the objective-based storytelling works fine. There were those briefing screens in the Batcave and Batman Doom.
Right.
And basically they were just like, this is what's happening, you're going after this guy.
But
Yeah. And it worked.
And it worked, because it was similar to what I said with Strife. Is that in my mind, I could create a distinction between going out and shooting things and not caring about the story, then coming back and suddenly being interested in it again. It provided context for what I was doing.
If Batman Doom was done today in Z Doom, it would have, like, Alfred showing up and be like, Batman, the Joker's on the I-45 terrorizing people. Go stop him. And it break the flow. Like, I think that the less the story interrupts the actual gameplay, unless the story is so heavily integrated into the gameplay that it has to, the better.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that thought, because I wanted to almost rant a bit about video game storytelling in general, because the notion of, oh, we got to treat it like a big blockbuster, and you're running around, you have cutscenes, you have things you run into, is actually really, really tiring in my head, because a lot of times what it ends up doing is, A, either guiding your hand through the game and making it feel like you are not in control of anything at all, which kind of sucks from a video game standpoint, or B, it just gets in the way to where you're like, I want to play the game, you're not letting me run around, why am I here at Black Mesa, whatever, talking to all these people in Half-Life 2, which Half-Life 2 is an interesting example to go back to, because first time through the game, really immersive. It is, I think, a good example of kind of the story facilitating the immersion in the world. Yeah. But the second and third time through the game, it's like, excuse me, let me get back to the game already. And then you get tired of the driving sequences and stuff. But
see, I don't mind it in modern games. Like, if a modern game wants to tell a story and I gotta sit through a bunch of cutscenes, whatever. As long as the story isn't complete shit, I'll watch it and I'll be happy and content. Because, like, I can still play Call of Duty games. There's dumb blockbuster action films. And they fulfill that role. That's fine. They know what they're doing. But with Doom, it's like, you have to get to the facility, and, you know, we have to capture this really high-priority target. And then you go to this, like, really wide-open, non-linear level, and it's like, yeah, I'm just going to go play around in this optional area for, like, 5 minutes and just, like, you know, totally kill the sense of, you know, pacing that this is really high-priority. Or the other option is to design it like a modern level where you are basically going down one hallway chasing a guy, and that doesn't work in Doom.
Ew. I don't know if it's entirely fair to say, well, this works in Doom and this doesn't, aside from things that the style, like, dictates. Like, for example, yes, you can't have modern cutscenes in Doom. It's just not going to happen. It won't work. But beyond that, it seems to me like it's a playground where you can try anything. The key, though, is going back to, A, will it fit the gameplay, which is something Tarnstone's brought up a lot. And that actually is a good point. Doom's gameplay is different enough that, okay, maybe the base story that you can tell is going to be different by default. Yes, you're not going to be able to really realistically tell a modern warfare-ish story without it feeling campy and silly because, oh, wait, I'm running at 60 miles an hour fighting what's probably demons. How does this work?
But see, that's the problem, is that everybody seems to want to tell a modern video game story in Doom.
Do they?
Granted.
That's what I can... I'm really thinking of, like, every modern, besides the few good ones, which are mainly atmospheric stories where it's just random BS, like, everything else is either generic story or modern military shooter story, which is also generic, but, like, at least has a narrative that isn't just, like, you're killing this guy, have fun.
Just occurs to me, since we brought up comedy and the like, how brilliant an example this discussion, Community is Falling 3, can be as well. Because, I mean, I said so before that, you know, it can get in the way if the story is constantly being thrust upon you and just providing the setting and context, then allowing you to go out and shoot things and come back and then worry about the story is what's important. But with something like that, it's thrust upon you in such a... it's a parody, and it knows it is, and it's actually supposed to get you annoyed at some point. Like, the dialogue is just so rife and goes on forever, and then you find yourself, you know, just space-buying to get through it or what have you, just so you can continue to play the game. But at the same time, you kind of are just, you extremely are interested in the story, because it's, for one, it's not entirely fictional. That just occurred to me as well. that's going to have an impact.
I actually never finished CIF3. I feel bad admitting that. Uh-oh.
I've played like 10 minutes of it. But I agree. It's something that I would like to sit down and play, but I just have too much other stuff I'm doing. But no, that works, Alfonso. That's another thing is, you know, it's not my particular cup of tea. I prefer, honestly, if you had just, yes, the start and the end. That's why I kind of like Doom's episodes, where they're all bookended. I think that Doom's episode format is probably the best way to tell a story in Doom, I think. It's a shame that you can't use it outside of vanilla using vanilla Doom and its limited monsters and weapons. Like, I think the four-episode 9 levels each allows for, you know, here's your themes, here's 9 levels. I think 9 levels is the best, like, progression possible. Like, it's just enough, and it doesn't go too long. And then you have your text at the end of it. Telling you what happened. I think that's probably the best, like, vanilla Doom storytelling way. Granted, Doom 1's story is awesome.
Exceptional.
It is. It really is. I mean,
he rappels down to the surface of hell using nothing.
Dude, no, okay. You die. You go to hell. You go down to hell. And then you get revenge for your bunny rabbit. That's a fucking great story right there.
I never thought of it that way.
What?
Just the entire escapade was just vengeance for Daisy's death.
Oh, yes, Doom 2, in my mind, is solely about you getting vengeance for Daisy's death. The helping humanity stuff is all secondary. They, like, killed your fucking rabbit.
No, here's the thing, is because if you look at kind of the context behind the second episode story, when the CEO's all like, you've got to go shut down the hell portal, Doom goes like, really? He sighs and gets up and goes, you're like, I already did this shit. There's some subtext there. So, but yeah, this discussion is interesting from my perspective, because I'm the guy who has planned out several story-based projects. Psychic is supposed to have a campaign mode. I actually have a lot of plans for a potential sequel to Psychic, which probably won't ever happen, because time. And lots of other things. Well, Hacks is that. Honestly. But it's just, and I'm just thinking, dang, I have all these ideas of things that I do think could work story-wise, but I don't really have a concrete example of it, because the only one I can think of is the thing I haven't made yet, so.
We had a call, Bob in the control booth just told me, we had a call, somebody brought up the fact that Batman Doom has story in-game, and I would disagree. Batman Doom has story in the hub sections. The hub sections are episode bookends acting like Doom 1.
Right. There you go. And that's what we love. Right.
There is actually a little bit of narrative progression. Things like, which episode? Say, I haven't played Batman Doom in ages, but there's one where you capture the bad guy and he escapes and you gotta run around and get him again. And it's, the story is literally, that part's only told in the level title.
Alright, okay.
Who was it? I think it may have been Joker. I think it was Joker.
Essel in the ISA channel, I just brought up an example. Saying there is level-based story to it still returning.
There is?
Yeah. We're getting, well, again, it's great.
Is it in the middle of the? Is it like the intermission screens?
The maps in themselves.
Oh, really?
Between the hubs, yeah. But again, it doesn't get in your way and doesn't like your ability to shoot.
Is it in like the, not the hubs, the like between levels screen, like Perdition's Gate stuff.
That as well, but I mean, he comes up with an example of Killer Croc, for example, who you're pursuing in the first chapter, just cropping up in windows and things like that. Sort of, yeah. So, again, it just fuels the context. The narrative.
And I guess Scarecrow breaking out and, you know, terrorizing from the windows. That
Daisy,
sort of
you
stuff.
Mentioned a marathon at some point, didn't you? What did you want to say about that?
Oh, yes. Okay, so marathon's an interesting take, too, because it is another favorite of mine, I guess, in the FPS world. But it's funny because the whole reason I like Marathon is not for the gameplay, but for the story and atmosphere. And it's interesting because, I like the way it's told. So for those who haven't played the game, the story is told entirely through little terminal screens, and it's all text, mostly coming from AIs that speak to you via text on the world. And at first, you're just kind of running around doing missions for them in the first and second games. Towards the end of it, you realize, oh, there's this batshit insane conflict with this alien race is trying to take over, and the AIs are, one of them is just insane and fighting another AI, and you're kind of doing his bidding. And it's a really interesting setup because it's a cool example of, the style is it's one of those things where it's not really intrusive, because if you want, you can just kind of skim through the text. But it doesn't interrupt the flow of main gameplay, aside from, okay, you pause and read a terminal if you want to. But at the same time, it's one of those where it's more of a world-based, it's not about what is done in the universe that's interesting, but it's more of the overarching, here's who the characters are, here's a sense of the feel of the place. Like, towards the last game is it's really hard to comprehend what the story is. Like, for some reason, you're, like, jumping from alternate timelines because of alien technology, and you really have no idea what's going on. But the minimalism of the story makes that work, because you right. feel like you're lost and being pulled around in all these directions, and it adds to the world.
Can you think of something analogous to that in a Doom map set that's been brought about?
I haven't seen it, and that's the thing.
Has there been something you're trying to recreate yourself, maybe?
Maybe. That would be. It's got some elements that I would kind of like to port over. That style is really cool, and I guess I technically do have an old shelved idea of a level set that I think was supposed to be a sequel to Zen Dynamics or something that would have used the terminal tech. It would have just basically been a marathon ripoff in terms of story. I literally had AIs planned and named. It's weird. But yeah, I. It's a cool thing to point out, because I think that might be something that could work, but at the same time, now I'm starting to double think it a bit, because Marathon was a much slower paced game than Doom in terms of gameplay, and so it made a little bit more sense that, okay, I'm stopping and I'm reading a terminal, and okay, what do I do next? Whereas a straight up Doom style shoot 'em up may not have that sort of feeling. I think that you could probably punctuate it well if you pull it off, but that's something I've always kind of wanted to see in Doom. But again,
well,
the reason
again,
why it works,
like ROT, whatever, like with PDAs and stuff, when you have the slow atmospheric level design, that works just fine. You have your, you know, this is time to read about the story, and then this is gameplay time.
I guess that's the closest thing there is in the Doom world. I have to add a space between Doom and the world so they don't think I'm talking about the site. Although in my head, when I first played it, I saw it as kind of like System Shock 2 for Doom, minus the RPG elements. Mm-hmm. So it could work, but has it been done? Will it be done?
I need to stress again, just to sort of just for clarification on my part, that when we're talking about, you know, there being gameplay time and story time, that's in my mind is something that's more specific to Vanilla Doom, just for clarification purposes. And the further you get away from Doom's stock sort of gameplay design, the more you can think about and better implement the idea of having the narrative be more pervasive sort of across the game. If you like, occurring not just in hubs or bookending levels or episodes or what have you, but actually throughout, you can effectively do that.
But
again, limited by certain things. The same thing
always holds true, that when you're engaged in gameplay, the levels themselves, the design needs to tell the story. What Essel was talking about in IRC is, like, in Batman Doom, Killer Croc shows up in a window and runs away, or, like, Zay's brought up Scarecrow shooting at you. That's not the narrative being told, like how Z-Doom map sets generally tell it. That's just the level design reinforcing what the text told you beforehand. Because
it is amusing. Again, oh, yep, go ahead.
There's story time, and then there's level time. And they really don't overlap. Like, I can't think of any examples of where you're, like, cutscenes are going on while you're playing Doom that really works. Like, the level playing is, you know, that's the story while you're playing the level, and then you can separate that out to story time afterwards, like the hubs and strife you were talking about. I don't think it's just the vanilla thing.
Something that occurred to me as well is, I mean, we talk a lot about narratives taking place across entire map sets, but it seems to me there's an intrinsic sort of sense of journey that can take place in just one, a standalone map of an epic proportion. Or not standalone maps, but single maps within a larger map set, such as Velda Pax, for example, where the map just goes on for so damn long, it takes me an hour and a half to route myself back to the start, and once I do that, I realize, oh, it feels like I've come home or something.
Oh, absolutely. And doesn't even, like, there's long maps. I made a map with SL4TM called Speed Traps for the Bee Kingdom, that the story is you start at the base of a mountain that you try and climb, but you can't because the guy can't jump, and so you go into some underground ruins, and then work your way around through the temples, out to a beach, and then up the mountain and the bamboo villages until you reach the summit.
Right.
That's the story of the map. Like, it, you know, it all has its own thing. There's no text or anything. That's just, like, the feel of the map.
And incidentally, when I download a standalone map, I'm more inclined to think about the story. Well, not the story, but prepare myself for a sense of progression like that if I download a standalone release. One of the reasons that I nominated The Eye for the CAC Awards in 2012 was precisely for this reason. I thought it was a brilliant example of a standalone release that felt like it, that felt so complete in what it was. Like, your objective is to circumnavigate the central structure of the eye, the eponymous thing, and then spiral your way up to the top. There was no text involved, of course, unless there was, and I just didn't really actually read the text file, which I probably should have done if I'm nominating it,
Oh, that's a really good thought, too, because this kind of goes a little bit into gameplay in the sense that it's less of a story thing and more of an objective-slash-goal-based thing, but the eye is interesting because it provides you with a very, very obvious, you need to get here without telling you anything or pointing you in that direction. It's just, oh, there's a huge structure in the center. I think I should get to that. The player immediately comes up to that conclusion by themselves. And in doing so, they have a goal, something to reach the map. And so when you finally do get there, you feel as if you've accomplished something because you've hit the goal that you set in your own mind. And that's actually a really powerful thing. If you can get the players themselves to, in a way, construct their own story, then you are almost guaranteed to increase their enjoyment of the map. So.
I think that the Doom community does a very good job. Many members do a very good job of doing that for individual maps. But as soon as you get to a map set, that sort of that interest is lost a little bit. Again, Backsetmix does that very well, and you get that sense of it's bookended extremely well. I think you don't. I don't really. Nobody really cares about the story as you're playing it. But once you get to the end, you realize. Yeah, it feels extremely accomplished. It feels complete, whole. You've done the whole circle sort of thing. I get that a lot. Yeah, you get that a lot in single map sets, but not necessarily in longer map sets, where I think it needs to be a big focus, because there's no harm in doing that. And it improves the map set immeasurably.
I don't even think it necessarily needs to be, like, a long map. Like, I don't know, I made a map for a personal project that has reached the moon in the title, and all the map literally is a canyon run with arch vials constantly spawning behind you to force you to basically run through kind of like a Death Star.
Wouldn't you say that's more of like a sense of gameplay completion rather than narrative?
No, I'd say that's, you know, you're given an objective that you can clearly see, and you move towards it the whole time.
Okay.
It's kind of... If in my own terms, it'd be a progression thing, not really a narrative thing, but yeah,
I think I use those words interchangeably sometimes.
Yeah. No, I think that it's a it's more both. Like, obviously, you're giving the player something to work towards, and it's not particularly like in depth, but it's still like the eye. You see what you want to get to, and yeah, more map sets do. Would benefit from showing the player what they need to get to at the very end. The Living End is a particularly powerful map.
Ooh, yes.
Because it shows you, like, boom, oh god, there's this big, massive cavern, and there's this giant-ass structure.
Well, that's an interesting one, because it actually doubles up, both as a brilliant, you know, penultimate map to a larger map set, again, with the narrative in mind there, and thanks to being in the number two in the slot, and as a map in itself. Like, if you put that as a standalone release, you still get that sense of completion once you got to the end of it, but it's doubled because you know that it's map 29, and you're ultimately going to get to fight the big wall. If you knew that in advance, you might not be so...
Yeah, it's a great, awesome build-up to a what-the-hell-did-I-just-do ending. when I first, like, my first instinct on seeing the Icon of Sin, or whatever you want to call them, I laughed out loud. I'm just like, it's a wall. What the hell? But yeah, Living End is interesting because I'm sitting here thinking, is there an earlier example in Doom or Doom 2.wad that embodies that? Certainly not as much as it does. But it may, in a way, almost be the original example of that. Here's a big, huge goal. Awesome. Now work your way to it. Have fun. And it's something the player themselves realizes.
Otherwise, I mean, map 20 and map 11 evoke, probably not to the same extent, but in fact not to the same extent, but they do evoke something, I guess. I mean,
somewhat. I mean, you see the key platform in map 11, but it's not like a gigantic grand centerpiece. Like, it's more of a footnote of, oh, well, there's the key, I need to get that later, which at that point maybe.
Yeah, I guess, but to me it's more of that, you know, I know through the story text in the back of my mind that I'm looking for an objective. And the fact that map 11 is sort of in this sort of grove, secluded-like location makes me think that, you know, whatever I'm looking for might be here. I guess maybe people don't really think that deeply, or just maybe that's just me. And then again with map 20, I'm sort of looking for the opening to hell through the story text, I know that, and so I get to this sort of blood-filled place, and it seems to me the logical place for an opening hell to be, plus that sort of boss culmination. I mean, it's, they're very weak elements, and not as strong as
that. Here's the thing that kind of makes me say no to both of those, is that playing Doom 2 for the first time, you have no idea.
It is, yeah, it's retrospective. It's yeah. completely retrospective.
You have no idea where the episode actually ends. Like, yeah. there's no indication that map 20 is going to be the last map of V2, or that map 11 is going to be the last map. So, I think that does kind of invalidate that. But I agree that if you know you're at the end, and you know, like, you read at the beginning X happens, then yeah, it will add to that experience.
Ooh, that sounds like it would be kind of a fun thing to discuss. Is that, I feel like I'm maybe ripping this from Alfonso, because he's the master of the segue, but endings, even, like, regardless of whether you have a heavily narrative-based story or not, endings, how do you end a map, how do you end a map set, is actually a very important thing that I think is often overlooked. And going into that, having a very, very well-thought-out end map and penultimate map for a map set is actually something that can really, really strengthen something. Like,
That's interesting, because I actually think that's one of the things that the Doom community does well, to be honest. They focus, you know, the map 29 must feel like a culmination towards this.
Possibly.
That's one thing they focus on quite a lot. And actually, in my mind, the sort of stuff in between that doesn't really get much attention. Which I know I sort of said before, it really shouldn't be, because, you know, if you have hubs, you should use that to tell the story, and otherwise you just have the text at the very start of the map set, or whatever. Not actually in game or at the end of map six to do that.
Yeah, but with penultimate maps and ultimate maps and all that, like, when you know it's the ending, like, that's not necessarily storytelling so much as it's just making, you know, this is the climax. It's got to have punch to it. You know, if you got to the end of a 30-map map set, and just disregarding storytelling, but still looking at it from a narrative perspective,
right,
you'd feel very let down if map 28 was, or map, not map, 20, map 29 was just nothing, and then map 30 was.
Sure. Here's a question then. If back to Saturn X were to have its hub maps removed, what impact do you think that would have on its gameplay narrative?
I think it'd be negative, honestly. I think it would
Well, it could clearly be negative, but I mean, would it be to the extent that you would just completely forget about it, and only once you get to the end would you sort of become aware? Or would even the end impact be diminished to the lack of the hub maps?
No, I would say that the unsinkable Fats domino would be diminished, just because it is such a stark, powerful, like, this is the end. I think that would still work, but definitely there would be a loss of, like, the feeling of slowly progressing. Like, the darkening of the base would still be there, but,
yeah,
like,
that's
clusters,
what I'm thinking about. Yeah,
the sort of clusters wouldn't be as pronounced. Kind of like if you didn't have death exits in Scythe, too. Like, the clusters would have less of an impact, I think.
That's an interesting one, death exits. Because a lot of people complain, and I'm not sure if it's, I guess it is for gameplay reasons, that it just stops the pace.
So absolutely.
You died, why am I still playing?
Kind of thing.
Because you went to hell again. It's another layer of hell, I guess.
It's super hell. Don't you know it's double hell? That's where people
double
who
hell,
are
yes.
dead go to die when they die.
People complain about it, but that's what's precisely there to separate episodes and create narrative in that way, I guess.
Yeah, I actually don't know anymore whether I like the phrase super hell or double hell. I was always a fan of saying go to super hell, but now that I've seen Tarnsman use the other one. Oh, Hyper Hell. That sounds weird.
Yeah,
that sounds
Hyper Hell sounds very like
ghosts go when you kill them.
That sounds like more like if you were a very, very bad ADHD person, you'd go to Hyper Hell. I don't know. That's all that comes to mind.
Oh, the masks.
You know, I'm actually sad because I haven't even thought to bring this up once, but an old classic, Mass Mouth 2, is very, very heavily story driven. And it's interesting because I haven't played it in years, but it's another kind of example of it's goofy, it's not entirely serious. You have freaking Linguisa show up as a boss monster for literally no reason other than, hey, I'm poking fun at the community, guys. But I do kind of wonder how it stacks up going back, because it did deliberately change the pace of gameplay to fit that, and I feel as if maybe most of its appeal was the fact that, oh, it is a storyline-based thing in Doom, regardless of how well it was pulled off. So I actually would kind of like to give that a replay. I have like a short list of a few things I'd like to go back and replay and see if my perceptions of it have changed. And Mass Mouth 2 is like at the top of the list. Because that would be a fun thing to look back at and be like, hey, how did this match up?
Yeah, that actually would. So I'm trying to think of if there's anything else for us to really discuss.
Not in my mind, but I do have to say that after Nuclear Blast was mentioned, my mind went immediately to Sergeant Mark IV's amazing Map 30 boss replacement and the Nuclear Blast that entails when you...
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which I have to add, if he was the final boss in a large standalone or otherwise map set. And that was the culmination of the journey. Great. I would be most satisfied with that Nuclear Blast and the sense of completion that I would feel.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It would have been great if the end text after that would have just been, Hell Explodes, the end.
Segway time. So it's time to drop a bomb on this episode of Program B, episode 13, to do a narrative. Thanks, Tarzman. And so it's for joining. It's been a little bit of a shorter episode. I don't think I was going to be surprised by that. There's only so much that can be said on this topic, but I think it was something worth discussing, and I hope you've all enjoyed listening to it. I'm off to have some lunch and other tasty comestibles. And you enjoy your day. Thank you for tuning in.